Hi, it's Ruby. Randy,
please.
I just want to say thank you very much for taking the time to do what you do. And I know I do a radio show here in Northern Ontario, and I just finished a series on your book, Using God's Money Wisely. And we had a lot of people comment on it. And one of the things that I'm getting a lot of, and it came up at the Kingdom Advisors Conference, and I've spoken with a few people about it, is there seems to be a lot of fear, and I'm using that word carefully, in the financial world right now among Christians. There just seems to be a lot of concern that something big is about to happen, you know, there's been certain people who've said, you know, God's given them dreams and the market's going to crash and different things. And I just would like your take on some of that. There was actually, it's so prevalent that there was actually a session at Kingdom Advisors, Fear, Uncertainty, and End Time Prophecies. And so can you give us some feedback from your perspective?
Well, that's another great question, Ruby. And I would say that my, in terms of the eschatology, in the we're living in the end times. Biblically, we've been living in the end times for 2,000 years. That expression is actually used. There, of course, are the end of the end times, and that's what people many people are thinking. I would say that my view on this is affected by the fact that when I was a brand new Christian in the early 70s, and there were prophecy books galore, and Hal Lindsey's Late Great Planet Earth came out, and I'm telling you, it took the world by storm. It was literally the best-selling book in the world. It wasn't on the New York Times bestsellers list because Christian bookstore sales did not count. But it, I mean, millions after millions after millions. And one of the things Hal Lindsey was saying was that based on what Matthew 24 says, that some will live to see this, you know, coming in that generation with the fig tree and all of this, and that was Israel. The bottom line was Christ had to return no later than 1980. Now, there were many people who believed that and actually made choices that I actually have some friends who did not get dental work done because, hey, Christ is going to return. Why spend the time and money, you know, to do that? Hopefully they've gotten dental work since then. But my point is, it was, I mean, that belief was so widespread that it affected people, whether they went to college, whether they did this, whether they did that. And it was a very misguided belief. Yet to many people, it seemed to be what Scripture was saying, but it wasn't. Scripture was clearly not saying that. I mean, I think everybody would agree with that, right? Because it did not happen. Then you had 88 Reasons Why Christ Will Return in 1988. That sold about a million copies. And then he didn't return, you may have noticed, in 88. And so then the next year it was, oh, I was off by a year, and 89 Reasons Why Christ Will Return in 1989. Well, it's just gone on and on. And I would say that these end-time predictions do not have much credibility in my mind. I'll be totally honest with you. I absolutely believe in the return of Christ. I believe that he could return in our lifetime. I do not for a moment assume that he will return in our lifetime. Now, that's one issue. But there's also then the issue of other people who, not because it's an end-times issue, but there are many cultures that have experienced serious financial issues that had nothing to do with the end times. They just had to do with unwise practices of business, of printing money on and on and on when it didn't have any basis, you know, for it and nothing to back it up. Policies that artificially seem to enhance value and make more people buy in, but is there are things overvalued? Now, maybe some people argue they're not. I was talking to a financial counselor recently. I said, I don't think they're overvalued. and somebody else saying, oh, they're way overvalued. And look at the American work ethic and the, even certain parts of the globe, and I don't have the trust in the future of companies like I used to. And then there's the other element, which is, even apart from the end times, will God bring judgment on the legalized murder of children that's been going on for so long, and abortion, and on homosexual marriage? And so some people take that angle. The bottom line is, I just don't know. But I do know that we can't know. That much I do know. And so when people say they know, that's when I can say with confidence, no, you don't. And also, when people say they know that the market is just going to do fine and it's going to continue, and yeah, it'll have its ups and downs, but look at the projection. I mean, you know, 20 years from now, there is no doubt, no doubt, the market will be way above where it is now, even with ups and downs in between. And I also say to that, you don't know. And since we don't know, then that's where wisdom, you know, I mean, it's a tough call. And as I said, I've been struggling with that in my own life. I mean, I'm 60 years old, and I'm trying to figure out what should I do or not do with what I want to have accessible to us in retirement. And the answers are very tough for me, even avoiding what I think are some errors. It's just very difficult. None of us wants to make an unwise decision. And if you come into a market at a time where then you have your next big correction, and then you feel like, gosh, do I even have enough time before I retire for that correction to have been made up? But on the other hand, do you just hang on to it? And then what? So, wish I had better answers.
No, those are all good answers. I guess part of it is there's just so much coming out with all the books and all the
yes.
media. And my take as a Christian financial advisor, I've even had, like, you know, people say I had this dream, and then other, like, it's almost like a mass hysteria in the Christian community. Not outside. I find it affects the Christian community. And so people come in and go to cash, or I'm taking all my money out and I'm buying gold. Like, this is a horrible thing. And what I'm finding is nobody's holding these people account. Like, even, you know, I'd have clients come in where selling everything. I read The Perfect Storm by John Paul Jackson, and there's going to be woes of 2012, and the market's going to do this, that, and the other thing. And yet nobody ever seems to hold these people to account. And yet in the Bible, you know, it's very clear that when a prophet prophesied something
yes.
specific about a time, they were really held to an account.
Yeah, they were put to death, which is not what we're advocating, but nonetheless, yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know. I'm just finding it a little frustrating that, you know, I think we have to focus. Like, so I've asked my clients who were relatives of this one gentleman giving these prophecies about this October, next October, the next October, like one of these Octobers he's going to get it right, that the market is going to crash bigger, worse than it was in 2008. But, you know, I say, well, what do you want me to do? I don't know, and I don't know whether God's given him this dream correctly or not. But what I do know is that I'm not going to be held accountable for predicting the future, and I don't think you will either. What we will be held accountable for is decisions we make based on trying to be stewards. So, proper
right.
education, giving, not hoarding up gold in your basement and cans of food, but, you know, were you a good steward? And anyhow, that's my, you know, frustrating issue with what's going on right now. It just seems like, and it really, like, especially for, you know, relationships where you have a husband and a wife, and, you know, let's say the wife's a believer and the husband isn't, and you know, she's convincing her husband based on this other person, you know, or this prophecy to do something, and it just, boy, it makes us look like a bunch of donkeys, right?
Thanks for being